Hello, everybody.
We're just doing like that.
Yeah, I sure was. For all of you on video, enjoy. Happy birthday to whoever's birthday it is today.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Episode 31.
Wow.
Of Off the Cut Podcast. We are going to dive straight into all kinds of madness.
Right into it. Let's do this.
It's going on in baseball. But first, if you like it, if you like the podcast, like it, subscribe for it, share it. YouTube, Apple, Spotify, anywhere except for one place that you can get podcasts.
What's the link? The website?
Offthecup.net. Offthecup.net. So we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about some transactions that went down. We're going to talk about some prospects for the Padres. And we're going to talk about a name change. You know how we love to talk about team name changes. We're going to talk about changing the name of the Atlanta Braves to honor Hank Aaron.
Yeah. Wasn't that like episode 4 when we just changed everyone's name?
Yeah. Anything that might be offensive at all.
that was like, let's not offend anybody, mascot.
Yeah. So
So much stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a banner podcast.
Global.
It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to be crazy.
Brilliant. It's going to be brilliant.
All right.
Watch us on YouTube. Okay. We're going to start off talking about Hall of Fame. Some great stuff went down. So this week, the baseball writers, who are the smartest people in the world, elected not to vote anybody into the Hall of Fame. I think the highest percentage of a player is 70%.
70.
You have to get 75, I believe, or just over 75 to be voted in. Some of the greatest players in the history of baseball are on the ballot, and they weren't even at the top. So I am excited to discuss this because I have a pretty strong opinion. I think you have a pretty strong opinion. I'm just going to say go!
Go. All right. I do not get where we've separated your accomplishments on the field and what you do off the field to determine whether you're supposed to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't get it. Now, I mean, you go and, you know, commit some heinous act. Okay, I can see where, you know, the Hall doesn't want you in there and glorify it. But if there's an opinion, if there was an off-the-cup comment, and then suddenly you're judged by that so heavily that they go, you know what? Forget your wins. Forget your championships. Forget your, you know, major accomplishments. Forget the how long you played in the major leagues and promoted major leagues and made kids love baseball. Because you don't like this or you said this, you're not in. You spent your entire life becoming a Hall of Fame player, and because some dude who graduated from college, you know, 10 years ago that you had a bad interview with doesn't like you, now you're not in the Hall of Fame.
Not even that. I mean, there's only been a couple players in the history of baseball who have, the commissioner has said you are not allowed to be in baseball anymore. You're not in the Hall of Fame. So I think the Black Sox scandal and Pete Rose. Okay. Everybody else is eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And there's a group of people that are deciding that they don't belong in it.
Non-baseball players.
Right. Non-baseball players. Exactly.
Guys that write stories.
And that's fine, but I think they're going a little overboard, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just they've taken into consideration not what they did on the field, but more off the field to determine whether they're a Hall of Famer.
Or they're overanalyzing whether or not they did something to make themselves better.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if the commissioner didn't say, if the people aren't banned, then you can't.
Right. Let's name names here.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds is on the Hall of Fame ballot. If he's on the ballot, is he one of the greatest players of all time? Hell yes.
Yes. What percentage of the vote did he get?
He got 60.7.
60% of the votes go to Barry Bonds, who was the best hitter of his generation.
And he's not in because, well, presumably.
Because he took steroids.
He took steroids. Right? But the commissioner allows him to be eligible.
He's not banned.
He's not banned. There's never been a punishment on Barry Bonds.
Right.
I you know, and if I were to take my son to the Hall of Fame, walking through, there's not going to be the all-time home run leader, Barry Bonds' plaque up there.
Right.
Right? I mean, Pete Rose, all time, he's got like something, but he's not glorified as a Hall of Famer.
Because he was banned. That's
right?
Different.
I understand. Bonds' situation's different. He's never been convicted. He's never been suspended. He's never been kicked out. He's never been blackballed. Nothing. He's on the Hall of Fame ballot.
Yeah, and the same goes for Roger Clemens. And before they were ever accused of doing anything, they were Hall of Famers. They had done enough in their career before anything ever happened to be Hall of Fame players.
And if you're going to tell me that there's guys in the Hall of everybody in the Hall of Fame never did anything, I mean, there's like the last two or three Hall of Fame inductions, there's been like, well, you know, that guy might have, or he was around, or possibly might have, but he's still in the Hall of Fame.
Right. I mean, at this point, you shouldn't just, nobody from 1987 to 1999 should be voted into Hall of Fame because nobody knows what happened.
Right. It just bugs me because we're supposed to vote in, I say we, they are supposed to vote in the best players of that generation to glorify in the Hall of Fame. And if you don't have Curt Schilling, who was the bloody sock for the Boston Red Sox, the ace of that staff that also had Pedro Martinez on it.
Yeah, I think the sock is in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Well, you know, you got to put the dude that was wearing it in there, too. Yeah. Because for 6-7 years, Curt Schilling dominated baseball. In the era of steroid users, he was the most dominant pitcher.
He was up there. Definitely up there.
Well, I mean, he was the trade deadline guy. He was the guy that you wanted pitching in the World Series. And he did. He did. And he won. He was flat out, you couldn't touch him in the playoffs. And so we get to 70%. And then there were, the killer was that there were 14 ballots turned in blank.
Which is just ridiculous.
So you get a Hall of Fame vote that, you know, you could basically solidify a guy's legacy in the game. And you go, nah, you know what? I'm not voting this year. Well, then you know what? Turn in your vote forever.
Right.
I just give me a vote. I would be proud and honored to make a vote. But for me to make a stand and make a statement by, nope, nobody on this list should get in.
Yeah, they do that all the time with guys on first ballot. Well, this guy doesn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Oh, well, who cares? If they're better than everybody else on the list, then they should be in the Hall of Fame, and it doesn't really matter whether they're first ballot or not. But let's go back to Curt Schilling. So Curt Schilling got 70% of the votes, which was more than Roger Clemens, Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds.
All those Andy guys Pettit, on our list.
Billy Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least three players that I just named off that had much stronger careers than Curt Schilling.
Yeah, quote unquote better.
Barry Bonds, Manny Ramirez, and Roger Clemens.
How do you not have Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame?
Like, his numbers are three times better than Curt Schilling's. I mean, if you go by the numbers and you didn't know what Curt Schilling did in the postseason, and Curt Schilling is a very borderline Hall of Famer just by his stats.
Right.
He got 70% of the votes over.
He was the highest.
Andy Pettit, who had pretty close to pitching the most innings ever in the postseason, I believe.
Yeah. Hey, he won a few championships with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know?
But Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, and Barry Bonds all have the steroid enhancement.
The tag. They're tagged. And like I said, there's guys in the Hall of Fame.
If I go to the Hall of Fame with my kid or a friend or whatever, am I going to be like, hey, look, it's Barry Bonds. He cheated. I'm going to be like, no, Barry Bonds has the most home runs ever. And when we watched him play, we were playing, favorite team was playing against him. We were afraid to pitch to him because he either walked or hit a home run. Like, he got intentionally walked with the bases loaded.
Yeah. That's the only guy in my lifetime that's ever been walked with bases loaded.
Right.
I mean, if you're so scared of a guy, you're like, I would rather give up one instead of four. That guy is pretty damn good.
He got less votes than Curt Schilling.
He got 60.7. I just, the whole process, why, not a knock, but it's a knock, is why do writers get the vote? Why don't GMs? Why don't current Hall of Famers?
Well, I think the initial thing was the writers were the only ones that saw every game, right? Mm-hmm. Other than the players, right? So the writers, when all of this started, they're the ones that were traveling around with the teams, watching all the games and seeing all the players play. Now, that's just my opinion.
Well, in today's world, I can check out stats all the way back to 1899.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm okay with the writers voting as long as they vote my way.
Well, I just want you to vote the baseball way.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We've been in baseball a long time. I've never invented anything in this game. I've taught it. I've used it. I've asked questions about it. But there's not one thing in this game that I invented. And for players, I mean, the players know who the good players are. I mean, they're playing against them. And if a guy's playing for 20 years and he's putting up stats, well, dang it, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So, you know? So let's go. Let's, I'm going to throw a crazy hypothetical here.
Uh-oh.
So, Blake Snell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he goes out and wins 295 games in his career.
Yep.
And everybody goes back to, all the sports writers go back to, well, you know, the Rays took him out, you know, in the playoffs because, you know, they thought they had a better pitcher and then they went on to lose. So if the Rays thought that they should take him out instead of pitching another inning, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it'd be one moment in time.
But that's what they're doing. They're picking one moment in time and not voting for somebody because of something they said after their career was over or because of something that they may have done during their career that nobody knows about, right?
Do you know when Schilling's last year in the big leagues was?
When?
2007.
2007?
14 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're worried about something he said last week, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're worried about. It's something that happened last week.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Not at all. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to ruin the Hall of Fame.
Well, they
by
are.
By not having the best players in it.
Yeah, they are. Without Barry Bonds, without Roger Clemens, mm-hmm. there's no Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean,
at least for our generation.
Manny Ramirez. I mean, might be one of the best right-handed hitters of all time.
Yep.
You know? And he's not in. Well, because, you know, he failed some tests. You know? Yeah. So, I don't know, dude.
I don't know either.
Gary Sheffield.
Yeah, Gary Sheffield's kind of one of those fringe guys that could be a Hall of Famer.
He was really, really good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is he a bubble guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
But to have that tag again.
Yeah.
You know? Wagner?
One of the
best closers for the time that he played, Billy Wagner was the dude.
Yeah, he was one of the top 20 all time, if not one of the top 10 closers of all time.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So
I don't get it, man. So that's kind of where we are with the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah.
I think it's a travesty.
It's definitely a travesty.
Kurt Schilling, I know you're listening. You know what? You're a Hall of Famer in my book, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
without a doubt. Without a doubt.
In my opinion, it could go either way with him. You know, he could be a Hall of Famer. He might not be a Hall of Famer, and that's okay. But either way, he's not the top person on this ballot.
And there goes...
Earthquake!
Welcome to California.
Cup check. So when you look at it, you know, there's no way Kurt Schilling should have been the top vote getter on the list. Yet he was, and... He still didn't make it in.
Yeah. No, you're going to have nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
When's the next time somebody's getting voted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, you got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like, no, nothing. Nothing's wrong with you.
And you got to not say anything.
Yeah. And don't talk.
Don't talk.
Your opinion will get you kicked out of the Hall of Fame.
Great.
I'm telling you
what it seems like.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you're telling me all these guys that are in the Hall of Fame are just angels.
Yeah.
You know, they're just perfect. Like, they never did anything wrong. They ate right. You know?
You've seen the Ty Cobb movie, right?
Yeah, I've seen the Ty Cobb movie. Jeez. That guy was a class ass. I mean, just a-hole.
Yeah.
But he was the best player in the league.
Yeah. I mean, you could take it way back and you could say that aspirin is a performance enhancer, or glasses are a performance enhancer.
I can see better.
I can see now.
Nope, out of the Hall of Fame.
Out of the Hall of Fame because you wore glasses.
We found out later on he wore contacts. Yeah. He's done.
He had LASIK.
Protein shakes before the game. Everybody saw it.
He took an aspirin. He had his knee was sore, so he took an aspirin. He had a bruise.
You tell me Babe Ruth was the model? I mean, come on. We're talking about baseball on the baseball field, putting up numbers, winning championships.
He didn't jog to the game. He rode in a car.
Yeah.
That's performance enhancing because he wasn't as tired as the other team.
I mean, Ted Williams used to walk to the stadium. Babe Ruth drove, so Babe, you're out.
Yep.
That would be an argument. Somebody would argue that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
So, anyways, let's get this right next time. Let's go veterans.
But the other part, the Schilling's like, take me off the list.
Take me off the list.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'll go before the Veterans Committee.
I'll let the Veterans Committee bring me in because they know what a good pitcher I was for my era. I mean, and you can't fault them. You can't. Now, there's a lot of guys that get in on their last time, but you're going to take that chance and sit there and be scrutinized for another year? Well, unless he comes back and goes, I'm so sorry, and changes everything that he thinks about, at least publicly, so that, the writers, we'll put him in this year. Nah, he doesn't want a pity party for getting a haul. He's like, you know what? I'm going to let the guys that I played with or against decide if I'm a Hall of Famer.
If we want to fix this, you should only be on the ballot maybe 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 10 years.
That'll fix it.
As long as you get a certain percentage, you stay on the ballot.
Let's fix it. You can be on the ballot for 2 years, and if nobody votes for you, you're out.
Yeah, because obviously...
Because that'll put in the best of the best.
And that list has some of the best, and they're not going in.
Yeah, I hear people talking about... Well, it's great because they put in so many Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame over the last 10 years that it's good not to have a year not having a Hall of Famer. No, because Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Manny Ramirez, and maybe Curt Schilling are Hall of Famers. Billy Wagner might be a Hall of Famer. They're not in.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a good thing that nobody got voted in.
It's not supposed to be a good old boys club, or we don't like those clubs.
How about we limit to 10 people on the ballot? You can vote for 3 and you only get 2 years. That'll put the best of the best.
Yeah, that would definitely thin the herd.
Instead of having 25 plus people on the ballot and you get 10 years to get voted in, and if you get over 25% or whatever, you get to stay in every year.
Yeah. It's bad when you can predict who's going to make the Hall of Fame in what year. Well, he got 70% this year. Projections say that he's going to be like 74.9%.
Yeah,
there might be some swing votes.
But if somebody turns in a blank ballot, they shouldn't count it towards percentage because they didn't actually participate.
Right. And I think if you turn in a blank ballot, that's your resume.
Because if you want to,
that's your you resigned.
If you want to throw your ballot away, vote for Shane Victorino. Sorry, Shane Victorino, you were a good player, but
Flying Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's like, a great nickname. Make a vote.
Yeah. It's. I don't know. Like I said, if I turn in a blank, I'm giving myself an F.
Yeah.
And I quit.
Yeah, you shouldn't get another ballot.
You're telling me the guy couldn't turn around and vote for the other guys and go, well, and turn in a ballot with none of those guys' names on it.
It's ridiculous.
Come on, Hall of Fame. Get it right.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Moving on.
Something big happened last night. Big, 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 big.
That's pretty big.
So, news came down last night that the Rockies are going to deal Nolan Arenado to the Cardinals and send about $50 million to the Cardinals. No word on what's coming back. Apparently, Nolan Arenado is extending the contract by 1 year and adding $15 million on that 1 year. There has to be approval from the Players Association and Major League Baseball because a bunch of money is getting deferred as well.
Right.
And I believe it was 2 years ago that Arenado signed this contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rockies are still going to save $199 million.
That's crazy. There's so much. The reason why he wasn't traded earlier is because that contract is huge.
It's monstrous.
$260 million. And at that time, that was the contract just below Manny. and Harper. So, I mean, he's, you know, Trout got his deal, but Arenado's contract basically prevented him from getting traded unless Colorado decided to eat.
Well, he has a no trade too.
Yeah.
So he has to waive the no trade as well.
So you got to work out a deal with the team and go, okay, let's go. Let's go ask Nolan if he'll go for it.
Yeah.
St. Louis has a hell of a third baseman now.
Yeah.
And you add that to Goldschmidt at first. That's
maybe they have somebody that can hit in their lineup now because they struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you're going from Colorado to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And you had a very poor year last year. But you can almost throw it out because it's the COVID year.
Yeah. But it's so hard to judge guys from last year.
You know you're going to get this top defense.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Arenado.
Oh, yeah.
You're assuming he's going to hit. One of those two guys is going to hit way more than they ever had because one of them is going to be hitting in front of the other. It's
right.
Either Goldschmidt, Arenado, Goldschmidt. Mm-hmm. I mean.
But that's a real nice combination to have in your lineup.
For a playoff team? Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and because of that, Yadier Molina is probably going to come back and sign and play another year for you.
Yep.
So
News broke yesterday. He's expected to re-sign with the Cardinals, and they signed Adam Wainwright on what looks like a one-year, $8 million deal. So they, because of this deal.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, St. Louis, it's well known that they have amazing baseball IQ fans.
Yes.
And that them doing this trade and then gonna bring back Molina and then re-signing Wainwright, that's a fan. It's a fan signing that also gives you talent.
Yep.
So the fans are still going to show up. So they're like, whew, all right.
We just got better.
We got better, and we still have our fans. We're good. And, you know, we're not going to let two legends walk away, and we're going to bring in the second best third baseman in baseball to complement the guy that we spent a bunch of money on last year. All right, let's go with it. Now we just hope we pitch.
Yeah, and essentially they lost Colton Wong and they brought in Nolan Arenado and they re-signed their two, you know, top free agents.
Yeah, that's a big move for St. Louis because there was at the end of the season, we're losing Molina. We can't hit, you know. Wainwright's gone, who's been, you know, the face of our pitching staff and our heart. And now, within, you know, 3 days, they made the biggest trade. Yeah, they got it all back. And
got better.
And I'm going to send you Nolan Arenado and $50 million. Okay, who do you want? Like, I don't even care who they get.
Yeah, we have no idea who's going back.
Yeah, that's still a question mark of who they're getting.
Maybe they're getting like the bench coach.
No, they're going to get like a lefty guy and some prospects. But I mean, this is a really good deal for St. Louis, who still thinks they can compete. Cause I mean, if you look at that division, who else is making moves?
Right. Well, didn't they win the division last year?
Yeah. But it was a battle, right? Yeah.
All the way down to the
Cubs.
Yeah.
The Cubs are dismantling. You know, they've gotten rid of guys, and there's a lot of question marks there, but they got a legitimate shot to make the playoffs again. And once you get in, you got a 50-50 shot, a chance of it. So
they made their team better.
Yeah,
they absolutely did.
It's a huge trade for them.
Yeah. So what the even better part, what that means for the NL West is it probably means three more wins for the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Dodgers.
Right. But Colorado, Now they're saying, okay, well, there goes. Now, do we sign Story big? Do we trade Story? And now you wonder if they're going to pull what the Padres did and just get rid of all their names, bring in a whole bunch of prospects, and do a rebuild.
Yeah, but what we learned from last week's Off the Cup podcast, they could probably go sign five free agents and make themselves a contender.
Yeah. I mean, the list is still here. Ding. You can still go out and get
guys.
They
can rebuild their starting pitching staff. They can bring in, you know, a bunch of players and compete with the money they just freed up. But they're going to have to re-sign Story.
How do you give away $50 million and save $200?
Right.
You know, that's crazy.
Right.
So,
but yeah, for the NL West, I think all the teams in the NL West, other than the Rockies, are like, whew, thank you.
Yeah.
We couldn't get hits down the third baseline, and we didn't like pitching to that guy.
Yeah, regardless of whether it was at home or on the road. So
Yeah.
Now, big trade. And it also, it's not, you're not conceding this year, but you're like, look, the Dodgers and Padres are good. We're spending a ton of money. We're not going to win in this league. Not yet. Not now. Even with the guys we have, we couldn't win. So let's save 200 mil. Let's go ahead and send them off. Yeah, we get some prospects. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they get back. If they
he could have opted out after this year. So that was another thing. We better get something.
Nobody can opt out after this year because nobody knows what the financial ramifications are of that. And he's coming off a bad year. So
he doesn't have to worry about it now.
That's right. And apparently he's getting extended. And
yeah, they're going to do the same thing.
He's going to get Bobby Bonilla, maybe. So
maybe. I love that contract.
Well, you mentioned the Cubs briefly and how they were kind of going backwards, but they kind of took a step forward. They signed Jock Peterson.
Yeah. No, I don't think they're not going to do the fire sale and go down to the bare knuckles and start over. They're still going to compete because they still got players.
Well, there's not much difference between Kyle Schwarber and Jock Peterson.
No.
Except you got a better outfielder.
Yeah.
So you actually got better.
Yeah.
Because
everyone loves Kyle Schwarber in Chicago.
They like him. They like him, but their team actually might have got a little bit better by this deal, even though Peterson doesn't.
And it's going to be interesting. You see a lot of guys that spend, you know, the team that drafted them, and they come through and they make the big leagues and they have success. And then they test free agency and they go somewhere else. You wonder if, one, they're going to be, you know, less successful, and you go, well, you know what? They were part of the project and you know, they fit our system. Now they go off and they fail. Or do you see a player just skyrocket and, you know, they get new coaches, new eyes on them and go, hey, why don't you try this? And all of a sudden it completely changes their game and they take off. Which in past history, if you played for the Padres when you're young, you went off somewhere else. You were, you know,
superstar.
You're an all star. You know, so it'll be interesting, especially for Jock Peterson, because remember he got traded.
And then it was canceled.
Then the physical or something came back and they're like, nope. And then okay, I'm back. Yeah. Hey guys,
thanks for wanting me.
I'm gonna play for the team that didn't want me.
Yeah.
And you know, but
and then all of a sudden he couldn't hit lefties anymore.
Yeah. Well, but still, I mean, he ended up with some solid stats for him, and now he's in Chicago. Who knows? Maybe he just blossoms, you know, takes off. That's a guy that'll be interesting to watch. Like,
it's definitely a better place to hit than Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, except in the season, which is like freezing cold.
Yeah, but either way, if you get one of those days where the wind's blowing out. That never happens in Dodger Stadium.
No,
you know?
Not like that.
No matter what, it's always tough to hit a home.
You're playing the majority of your games there.
Yeah.
So,
fly ball hitter in a small park.
Yeah. Wind blowing out to right.
Yep.
Pop up, it's gone.
Yeah, and then on top of that, rumors about Jeff Samardzija going back to the Cubs.
Yeah, and, you know, he got drafted. He was. I followed this one a lot, you know, because... I used to watch college football a ton, and Jeff Samardzija was the best tight end in the country.
Except he was a wide receiver.
Well, they played him in that weird slot area with Notre Dame. But he was like legit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teams were wary. Are we going to draft him or is he going to go in the NFL? And then the Cubs draft him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you didn't know that I was a pitcher. And I did really good, too. And he spent the first 6-7 years. In Chicago,
yeah, he had a good career before he went to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, he was traded to was it the A's, and then signed with the Giants after that, and a nice contract. I mean, he's done real well for himself, and now a chance to go back and finish your career with the team that drafted you. I think any player enjoys. So he'll go out. He's going to be, you know, a 500 guy, eat innings, 500 pitcher. You know, and he'll dazzle you, and then a couple times, but it's a solid arm. I hope he signs her. I really do, because that'll be fun to watch him again.
Yeah, and then on top of that signing, a little bit earlier in the week, one of the biggest free agent signings of this year happened, and that was with the catcher of the Phillies going back to the Phillies, JT Realmuto on a 5-year, $115 million contract.
And that's a good deal. I don't know how many teams were bidding. I mean, I don't know if Philadelphia was bidding with themselves, but there was probably an offer on the table with somebody else, and it was like, match it or beat it. And so that's a good contract for him. I mean, he's a good catcher. He's all around. He hits. They liked him.
Yeah, but there's only maybe a couple teams in baseball that would pay that much money for a catcher because it's a novelty. It's
completely changed.
Yeah,
the catching position's changed.
Yeah, but just to throw a little fun fact into this, I remember probably about a month ago we were talking about what could happen with him, and I said maybe the Yankees trade their catcher away and bring in Realmuto, mm-hmm. and then 2 days later I read an article online that said that was actually something the Yankees had thought about. So congratulations to me.
Yeah.
But
because the Yankees listen to our podcast.
That's right. So this is a good signing. I don't think they had a lot of options. Mm-hmm. It was only big clubs that could bring in a catcher that's worth that much money. Even the fact, you think about this guy would have made a huge impact in LA or mm-hmm. in San Diego or, any of these teams, but he wasn't even rumored to any of these other teams. No. Like, so his market was really small.
Yeah.
So the fact that he got 5 years, 115 is really good because I think he really had a small market. I mean, he wasn't rumored to go to the Blue Jays where right. they signed everybody.
The only team you heard was the Mets, and then they go and sign McCann and you're just like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, and even Wilson Ramos just signed, mm-hmm. I could have sworn I had it on my list, but he just signed, and it's just
he's signed with Detroit.
Only got $2 million.
Yeah,
so
goes to Detroit. He's going to play.
But you would think that anywhere that Alex Avila, he wasn't rumored any other place that needed a catcher,
right?
So that shows you what people think of the catcher position right now.
Yeah, either you're going to get a veteran guy and get cheap, or you're going to bring a young guy and see if he can do it. Right. But I mean, he is the premier catcher right now. I mean, Molina coming back to St. Louis is going to be a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and the fact he wasn't rumored to St. Louis either, when they needed a catcher,
it could have been one of those situations too. They're like, well, St. Louis is talking to Molina going, hey, you hanging him up? Cause if not,
but he's still a 1 year guy.
Yeah.
Right. And we're talking about a 5 year guy.
Yeah. Well, I think the situations are different. Philadelphia needs that commitment. They got so much money wrapped up in Harper and some of the guys that they've brought in that either we're going to make a run at this or, we're going to sell a lot of Harper jerseys.
Yeah, this is a fan signing.
Yeah.
It's just, just like the Cardinals we're talking about with Molina and Wainwright. Mm-hmm. This is a fan signing.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I mean, you got a hell of a player.
Not saying anything bad about the player, but I think catching market in Major League Baseball has definitely been devalued.
Unless you got a superstar that comes up and I mean, remember when Benito Santiago came up?
Yeah, it was 1987.
Yeah, I remember it. And he was like the next great thing. This dude throws from his knees, right? And he's going to hit a little bit and he's athletic. And, there was excitement behind it because he brought something different. You don't see that. Right now, you don't see that electric, exciting catcher. Piazza, this guy's going to hit, tons of bombs. He's a big dude. There was excitement about that. Now he's a horrible catcher, but
I know one that's worse. And if you listen to the podcast,
you know exactly who we're talking about.
If you know, you know.
the excitement behind being a catcher is that flair's been gone. So if you're really good, then you get a solid contract. If not, it seems like it's like the merry-go-round to just see what's up.
Yeah, it's just if he was at the same status at a different position, mm-hmm. right? So if you're the top three catcher, but if you're a top three shortstop, you get way more. If you're a top three center fielder, you get way more. If you're a top three first baseman, you get way mm-hmm. more.
And you get BMW commercials.
And if you're a top three catcher, this is what you get.
Yeah. Five you get a solid contract and thanks.
You don't get 5 years, 150.
Yeah. So, no, it's good for Philly. I mean, that solidifies that position. But
yep. Moving on to another Philadelphia Phillies move. It looks like they signed lefty Matt Moore to come in and eat some innings for them on a $3 million base salary contract with incentives.
Yeah, there's not a win. You're not going to lose on that.
No, it's just a nice little pickup. Mm-hmm. Also, just in random baseball news, Daniel Murphy has retired.
Yeah.
From the big leagues.
Murphy.
And that was pretty young, too. Like 31,
I think. Yeah. But remember when he was with the Mets and he was
in the playoffs?
In the playoffs was absolutely ridiculous. That was like video game mode where, you know, you put him on super boost. Everything he hit was he had like 9 home runs in the playoffs. He had like 7 during the regular season and hit 9 in the playoffs. You know, he was a pure hitter. He's one of those guys that changed his approach in his swing and absolutely changed his game completely. And you couldn't get that guy out. And for him, yeah, it is a little premature. Maybe the market just wasn't out there, and maybe he was lost for a position and he lost range. So he's more of a first baseman, but he could still swing it. I'm surprised he wasn't an invite to like an American League team that has the DH, you know, to be a hitter.
Just
a hitter. He's not going to be a power guy.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit lately, so it's probably a good time.
Maybe his body's just breaking down. Didn't want to say nothing.
Yeah, we have a couple of more fun transactions I want to roll through pretty quickly. Tommy La Stella got a 3-year, $19 million deal from the Giants.
Stays in the Bay Area.
Yeah, not bad. He probably happy to stay at home where he already lives. Mm-hmm. But that's a pretty good contract for Tommy La Stella. Masahiro Tanaka, who was rumored with the Padres all offseason, signs back in Japan on a 2-year deal.
Finishes his career with the team he started with.
A trade I like because the Blue Jays are going places. Like I think I left it off my list. Did Simeon go to the Blue Jays too? There's a rumor there. But anyways, they traded for Steven Matz, the lefty from the Mets. Yeah. And that's a good, solid deal for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. And this one I question. I'm like, what are the Mets doing?
Yeah. Like, it seems like they're going for it. And then they trade one of their top starting
pitchers. Is there something we don't know, Bauer? Yeah. Is there something, you know, off this list, are you going to go get some guys? You know, Odorizzi. Are there going to be, it wasn't a huge contract they had.
No. Well, this is Matz is they had already settled outside arbitration, but this is last year. So he's a free agent. Maybe they thought they wouldn't be able to sign him.
Or they didn't want to sign him.
So they got a few right-handers back.
Yeah. They got some pitching prospects, which is, like I said, that was an interesting trade. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. So it's a good one for the Blue Jays who brought in George Springer. Yeah. And they're looking good there.
Yeah.
The Yankees signed Corey Kluber out of the bullpen for 1 year, $11
million. That's a great contract for him.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week.
Yep.
The
Nationals had a great week.
Yeah, so they signed this reliever named Brad Hand
for
1 year, $10.5
million. Mr. Hand.
He's going to go out and maybe close for him. But then they brought in a veteran by the name of John Lester on a $5 million contract.
This is a great pickup for the Nationals because that staff is already good. You're going to throw Lester in at your 4 or 5. You know, the guy's a proven winner. He just goes out and gets it done. He's a professional. And you're going to use him as your 4 or 5 behind Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, so you replaced Gio Gonzalez with the same guy,
except Lester is known to be a bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe a little more than people think of Gonzalez. Doesn't mean he wasn't
right,
but Lester is known to be.
Oh, he's proven.
Yeah,
he's proven. So you're bringing a proven veteran lefty that's going to eat innings and be a good clubhouse guy too. Yeah. So I like that. I like those two pickups. Hand's going to close for him, and. Suddenly, the Nationals, again, you still question, you know, what kind of offense they're going to have, but that pitching staff is going to be good.
They have one of the best young offenses in the league. Yeah. So I have one more transaction I want to talk about, and this one kind of befuddled me.
Befuddled?
Not because of where he went, but just because of the contract, and you would expect more. Andrelton Simmons signed with the Twins on a 1-year deal worth $10.5 million. essentially the best defensive shortstop in the game who's hitting around 300 gets a one-year deal with the Twins.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to let him go off of my HOT team because I did pick him up. Four gold gloves, and he signs with the Twins.
Good for the Twins. Like, not a bad signing, but
no,
how does he not get a three-year deal with a... I mean, the Twins are a contender. Like, they've been playing well, but like, how one did year. That come about, one-year deal with a premier player like Simmons?
Well, we never know what their asking prices are. You know, when their agent goes, hey, we're looking for this. If it's a chance for him to go and improve his status to other teams for next year, okay. I mean, he's going to play. You know, I don't know why the Angels let him go.
For $10.5 million, you could have just brought him back.
Yeah. I mean, is it that much of a stretch?
No, they spend money like it's nothing.
So... nice pickup for the Twins. You're going to get a solid defender, and whatever he hits is a bonus. And the Twins are a team. You just don't know which way they're going. I mean, they're still going to compete. They're
the silent killers, man. They come out of nowhere and they're in first place and battling in the playoffs.
And they just
they
just do it. Yeah. I mean, everyone talks about the Rays, but the Twins, you know, they're the Rays of the North.
And yeah.
You're like, wow, hey, the Twins are in second place.
Yeah.
Who's on the team? I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea.
Is Joe Mauer still playing?
Yeah. You know, so, but one signing that I liked, because I've got friends in the organization, was Baltimore picking up Freddy Galvis.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I thought we talked about that. No, we didn't talk about it last week, so I didn't add it
to
my list.
So Freddy Galvis signing with Baltimore, that's a lovely pickup. I've always been a Freddy fan because he just plays the game hard and plays it right. But that was a nice little pickup for him.
Yeah, it'll be nice for him because he'll probably get to play every day. Just he's going to be playing every day on that poor team.
Yeah. But they're that team that they've actually drafted well, and those guys are coming up. I can't even tell you one pitcher they have.
I don't know, but they still have Chris Davis's contract at first base.
So you're gonna hear, was it Gonsalves to Davis, and there's the out. Hope he hits.
Yeah. So. That'll conclude the transaction portion of the podcast.
There's one more.
Oh, you want to talk about one more?
What? One
how
more.
How did this not get on my list?
Because I'm the Padre guy.
Oh.
Profar. Smiley.
Didn't we talk about that last
week? No. It was official. They had to do something. So now it's official.
Oh, it's official.
Yeah. But I've been loving all his posts. I mean, he's so happy to be back. He's like, you know, this was my first choice from the get go. We just had to see what we could do.
They had so much fun.
Oh, and everyone that saw it was like, man, it's so great to have him back. Cause obviously he fills a big part in that clubhouse, you know? So as much as, no one really talks about chemistry anymore. That clubhouse, he was a part of it. And he was, you know, he's the guy that bounces around and, you know, that smile's contagious, man.
Yeah.
He has fun. He has fun. So I'm glad that, you know, now it's official. So
it's Facebook official.
Yes. Now this is now MLB official.
He had to update his status to a member of the Padres.
Professional player, San Diego Padres.
All right. So sticking with the Padres, something fun happened this week. MLB.com released their top 100 prospects in baseball. Mm-hmm. The Padres, even after trading everybody away, still have four players on that top 100 list.
Yeah.
So it starts out with a player at number 6 on the list, which is a left-handed pitcher by the name of Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah. He's like the Christmas present that you're waiting to. It's been shipping's delayed.
You have an idea of what it is. You shook the box. You want to open it, but it's not Christmas yet.
Yeah.
And Christmas just seems like it keeps getting farther and farther away.
You just wonder when he's going to show up.
And you're like, man, I guess I got to wait till my birthday to open it.
Right. Don't open until I tell you.
Yeah.
So he's Like, he's the gift that we want.
Well, everybody keeps talking about how he's going to be the five-starter. He's going to be the five-starter. But when it came down to it last year, that he wasn't the guy they brought up. They brought up Weathers. So, and now you're like, we still want to see him play, but why didn't he play?
Yeah. Or they knew, hey, we need to bring up a lefty. He's going to be a bullpen guy. Weathers has that mentality. Okay. Or they just didn't want to show anybody. No, we're going to save this this maybe. Diamond for next year, you know?
Or maybe he's overhyped.
No. No, he's legit.
All right, so rolling in at number 8 on the list is a shortstop that they drafted, I believe, last year, C.J. Abrams.
And he's getting a lot of hype.
Massive hype.
Massive. I saw a thing where Tatis was ranked 8th at the age of 19. And now you got Abrams, who's ranked 8th. And it's like, ooh, do we have two Tatises?
It's gonna be a battle.
Be a battle. Is he gonna who's gonna switch positions? Tatis to center field.
I don't think so.
No. Are you kidding? That left side of the infield solid for another 8 years.
Yeah. And then rolling in at number 45. The catcher, Luis Camposano, who came in and hit a big home run in his first game. Lives in Georgia.
Yes, I think we discussed that part.
Really a top prospect for the Padres. I he could probably step in and be the starting catcher.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they go, hey, you know, you're starting. Nola's going to, you know, utility and back you up. And then when Darvish throws, we'll mix in the other guy. That's an interesting scenario in how the Padres are going to deal with that, because you saw the power in his swing, and his dude's built.
Yeah. And he catches better than Mejia.
Yeah. There's the name. If you know, you know. That'll be interesting to see, how they manufacture and just kind of mold him in, if he's going to be the guy, or if he's going to be the 67% guy, you know? But, you know, if he's hitting, well, you're going to play. And Cronenworth proved that last year with this management group. So, I want to see him. I want to see, are we in the era of an everyday catcher anymore? You know?
Not as long as you have you, Darvish.
Mm-hmm. You know? But he's definitely a guy that I really want to see, because that from a scout's perspective, he fits. He checks all the boxes, man.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
and surprisingly, rolling in at number 62, the Padres have not traded away every outfielder in the organization.
Really?
Like, I could have sworn they've traded about 15 different outfielders in the last 2 years. They have Robert Hassel III.
Oh,
rolling in
the Canadian
at number 62.
Yeah, I was watching some videos of him working out right now. Ah, his swing is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful swing. Reminds me of Sean Green. Just love that swing. So yeah, getting fired up.
Four players in the top 100 after they made all these trades. That's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, those are guys that are supposed to plug in somewhere.
Yeah, and just throwing it out there, last year they had 10. This year they have 4, but they're
gotten
better.
So good.
They're better now. They're better.
They're so their depth is ridiculous on the major league level. Everybody can play.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So I sent you an article at the beginning of this week via text.
Ah.
And it was really, really interesting. And it said, in honor of the passing of Hank Aaron. People think that they should rename the Atlanta Braves to the Hammers.
I love this idea, dude. I love it. I'm like,
the Atlanta Hammers.
The Atlanta Hammers. And then instead of the chop, they all have
hammers. They can still do the same thing. They just don't do the whoa.
Yeah. Do they go clank?
Clink, 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 clink. Clink-a-clink-clink-clink-clink-clink-clink-clink.
Imagine selling foam hammers and blow-up hammers.
Yeah.
You know, on deck they have like a sledgehammer. You know, that I love that idea. It'll nobody can complain about that.
No, it's great.
No one. I don't like the idea. What's it stand for, Hank Aaron? No, I think it would be like, this is a great tribute, and you know what? It's a pretty cool name.
Heck yeah.
I dig it. I loved it. I love that
idea.
Yeah,
I'm like, let's do it. Every team should be named the Hammers.
Every day.
The Cleveland Hammers.
Now,
the Atlanta Hammers.
I actually have a legitimate question for you. Do you retire 44 for the entire major leagues like they did with Jackie Robinson? That's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one.
I'm not the guy to be asking about like full league number retirement because I like to keep it specialized within the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Robinson's definitely one that you know you can get behind. Right.
No one can argue that one either.
No, you can't argue it. If it happened, okay. If it didn't, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But you know,
do you have that special day where everybody wears 44? I don't know. That would definitely be something I would get behind.
Yeah, you can't complain about it.
No.
You know.
But I was thinking about that. I mean, he was such an icon for the game and broke so many barriers as well, you know, leading through that. Is he a guy that you would memorialize for that?
Well, you definitely memorialize him in any way you possibly can, right?
Right.
But I was statues just at the Hall of Fame and in Atlanta and talking about him all the time and doing all that kind of stuff. I'm just not the guy that's about the full number retirement because eventually you're going to run out of numbers.
That's
because,
true.
Because you could make a case for 10 other guys, you know, that have been awesome and great ambassadors of the game.
I was just thinking. Just thinking.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Like I said, I wouldn't oppose it.
I'll take the Hammers, though.
Definitely
over the Hammers. That. Love the Hammers, dude.
I mean, you could even, since you're renaming the team, you could even name them the Atlanta 44s.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, and then it's
like
really
the Colt 45s.
It's really
the Atlanta 44s.
Yeah,
that would be legit.
Wouldn't it be rad?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's call them up.
And then you would have, like, you put a 44 on the front in handwritten text, and then you have your little number 6 over here because you're the second baseman. You wear number 6. So you'd be 44-6.
Everybody's number starts with 44. Now batting number 441.
Number 4482.
The double digits are going to be a mouthful.
Now batting for the 44.
You know who
number 88.
You know who wouldn't like that? The announcers. Oh, that's great. Good stuff, man.
Yeah,
but guarantee you, not one other podcast on this planet came up with that idea. Yeah.
No, nobody on the planet came up with naming their team the 44s.
That's great.
And starting every number on the team with 44.
Yeah. Well, we're innovators, you know? What can you say? Dude, that's awesome.
Well, just think about this. If your team name was the 44s, you could put Atlanta across the thing here. Where this Nike is, because we're sponsored by... No, we're not.
Nike.
And then you put your 44 here, like where people normally put their numbers, and then you have your regular number on the back.
There it is.
And it everyone would say Atlanta 44.
That would be great. Because I think you could just put a patch on your sleeve. That's okay, cool. Name the whole team after
him. Name the team after him. If you really want...
Come
really
on, Georgia.
In,
let's go.
If you're all in...
You're all in.
Yeah, let's be all in.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah.
Good stuff, dude.
Yeah, not a bad pod today.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Oh, by the way, I forgot to introduce us. That's Hoppy.
Oh, hey, I'm Hoppy. that guy. He's Hobbs.
Just in case 53 minutes in, you weren't sure who we were.
It's like, who are these guys?
Look at the picture. He's the one with the big head.
It's amazing. I do that face all the time.
Nice
it's like,
goatee.
What?
Nice goatee.
Solid.
Looks good in the picture.
It does.
All right, man. What time is it today?
Well, I guess it's time to sign off.
Yeah, it's sign off time, baby.
All right, dude. With that one there, folks, we're out of here.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Woo!
Dude, that was awesome.